Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, thanks, Hayden. This is quite exciting. I'm in the field.
Oh.
Ooh.
Literally in a field.
No, the field.
Which is the field?
Like a field agent. I'm out and about.
I see.
Oh, right.
Was that your handbrake going on there?
That was, yeah. I'm sat in a car because I am about to go and pick up a Halloween costume for my daughter from a local buy, sell, and swap forum.
Wow!
Right. And I've got to pick it up at about 8 o'clock.
Well,
so I'm parked basically outside someone else's house on a headset, looking at their door.
Make sure you clean it. Make sure you clean it.
Well, not just that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I've never heard more of a setup for a horror movie in my life. You are about to be murdered.
Yeah, fair enough, actually. I can see how that does sound like murder. Yeah.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. This week, 27 Dicks. Jamie is with us.
Yep.
Matthew Wandless is with us, as you have just found out, from a sitting duck in a horror movie. Have you got the heater on there in your car, Matt?
I haven't actually, and I'm just thinking, do I need it on? But I don't feel like I do.
How cold would you like to be when you die? That's the question.
Oh well.
Can you tell I'm rewatching The Walking Dead at the moment?
Beg your pardon?
Can you tell I'm rewatching The Walking Dead at the moment?
Well, I mean, this is not the kind of thing that happens in The Walking Dead. No one goes to pick up Halloween costumes in The Walking Dead.
Well, somebody goes out on their own. They believe that something's entirely innocent, and then that another human being pulls a hoodwink on him, does the old bait and switch.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't trust anybody.
I can see it. I'm not saying you haven't made an astute observation, but I hope I don't die.
Just put your central locking on, right?
Yep, done.
Great. So, listen, it's the three of us. Jamie's got a sick baby. Matt's got to pick up a costume. And I think, just in general, I'm guessing that this isn't going to be a long debate, this podcast. But then I've made such errors before. American Vandal is the one of the latest comedies from Netflix. And it's a takedown, if you like, a loving takedown of things like Making a Murderer and serial crime dramas that have become quite fashionable in recent times. And I've watched it all. Matthew, have you watched it all?
I've watched the first two episodes.
Ah, good. We have a guinea pig. Jamie, how much you watched?
All of it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just put my cards on the table straight away. I absolutely loved this thing, start to finish. The only thing I found difficult was imagining that I was Sarah Koenig off for Serial. Just imagining her watching it and open-jawed or sort of crawling behind the couch in embarrassment of how well they've taken her sentence structures and storytelling structures to just so well, to just take this matter of kind of innocence versus guilt and spin it into drama, which is essentially what all of those things have done, although you could say that they have more of an important role to society than this particular one. But that's where I stand on it, and I've not even said the premise. Jamie, why don't you say where you stand on it and the premise, and then we'll go to Matthew, because he's normally the one with the most controversial opinions.
Yeah. Well, the premise is high school set documentary where a student named Dylan has been expelled and will be charged with a criminal offence for being accused and convicted by the school, at least, of drawing, spray painting huge penises on the teachers' cars. Is it 27?
27 cars, I believe, yeah.
27 penises.
Yeah. Dylan has a history of drawing penises, so there is, you know, there is priors. And it just follows in a very amusing sort of a look at the serialization documentary world, the who done it, did he do it? That's the premise.
And the documentary is being made by a fellow classmate who is kind of in the AV club kind of thing, you know, a student who's a good media student, and he's putting this thing together because he's seen things like Making a Murderer and List of Serial and stuff. That's the setup, and from moment one I was laughing, maybe because I'm puerile. Matthew, did you sit straight face through this and shake your head at the infantile nature of it?
Now, when just before we started, you said you thought this was going to be a short debate.
Yeah, I just thought everyone was going to say they love it.
Is that what you thought I would think of this?
I thought maybe you would enjoy it. Yeah, do you not?
I didn't like it.
What?
I didn't like it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
Why?
You know, humor's subjective. I think this was a good swing but a miss for me. A good swing and a miss.
What is he missing? It's like it's almost every sentence has been taken from Serial. Did you listen to Serial?
Hey, look, I did listen to Serial. Yeah, and the lampoon has been done well. I think their observations are good, but I think I don't know. I feel like they've gone too far in the other direction, and I just don't feel like the humor is well crafted enough. It's like they just take for granted that it'll be funny because it's about something puerile, and I just don't think it's. I don't think it's reached high enough.
But that's the gag, yeah. Isn't it? The gag is, what if you took, instead of taking the murder of a girlfriend, and you took dicks? Like, it has to be puerile to make it work, doesn't it?
Yes, but then within that, you still have to write jokes. And I don't think they have. They've just taken it for granted that people will find it funny because the subject is dicks and whether or not someone got a hand job. And
they do a 3D reconstruction of a possible hand job.
I haven't got that far yet. But I do like the way they're treating it. But it's like when I think of, I'm holding it to a very high standard.
What's the high standard?
For me, like the ultimate takeoff of something like this is Brass Eye in the Day to Day. That's the standard for me. That's the golden standard.
Okay.
And I'm not saying everything has to be that good, but then like right next to that is The Office, and this for me is just a long way short of that. It's not either puerile enough nor sophisticated enough. It doesn't go far enough in either direction for me. There's stuff in there which I think really hits. And I enjoy watching them work through it. But it doesn't make me laugh. That's the bottom line. It doesn't make me laugh. And there's just not enough going on in it for me.
Oh, it made me laugh so hard.
I do agree with you, Matt, to an extent that it does think it's funnier than it is. And you're right that I think there's a little bit of, like, because of the dicks, you know, that is funny. But, like, six episodes in, you kind of do want them to, like, stop sort of leaning on the dick joke.
I'm realizing now how funny this podcast is to listen to two men seriously take down criticism of 27 dicks. It's almost eating itself. I was concerned that I was like, how are they going to stretch this out over a series, because the gag is the gag, and once you've done an episode, it's like, how are they going to do this further? And actually it does kind of have it rings true. It has a good point about high school and the way teachers brand kids and stuff. Like, there is actually a soul to it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, oh, no, there is. It doesn't happen until couple of episodes.
Okay, fine.
But
It's true, Matt. Yeah, it does. One of the strengths of it is, like you said, also it does go into, and I was hoping it would, the impact that these documentaries have on the real people that they're investigating in their lives. And also, what it does well, and I think one of its biggest strengths, is that Dylan as a character becomes really interesting, and actually you kind of do see his journey, and you empathise with his journey as you go along as well. It's really, those are the strengths of the show, and there is funniness in there. You will laugh at bits. I don't think episode one, I think it just throws everything at your face in episode one, but I think you still get the humour out of the penis jokes at times. But the biggest strength for me was the Dylan factor, and the fact that it really does look at every facet of these documentaries and go into detail about the you know, how you compromise your relationships if you're making these documentaries, and the friendship of these two people making the documentary, and also the impact it has on the lives of people around it.
Yeah, it does. It takes that down very well, and in a way that's different from the day to day and Brass Eye, because I obviously love those things, but they always are very, they scream to me that the axe that they're wielding very loudly, those things. Chris Morris.
What does that mean?
You can almost taste the bile that's coming out of Chris Morris's mouth for things like exaggerated Newsnight style opening credits, the way that they report, you know, the things that
don't think it is. I think it's doing what this show is doing, and what this show does actually quite well, which is highlighting the ridiculousness of the techniques used in news and in now these documentaries.
Yeah, it does that, but I think the difference is in the performances. So in the Brass Eye stuff, things are heightened massively. This, I consider the performances in this probably as close.
Again, I don't agree with you about that.
What? They're not heightened.
They're
Chris Morris and Alan Partridge and the paedophiles, they're not heightened.
They give enough cues to the audience to separate it from what's real. I don't want to get into a debate about how good Brass Eye is, but they give you enough of that. But I'm telling you, like, if you go back and watch Brass Eye, and go and watch some of the most ridiculous stuff, like where they draw a graph and they say, but what's really strange is if you turn the graph on its side, the fox's head starts to flash.
Yeah.
And like, they've just got this ridiculous visual representation. But then you go and watch some news and you'll see something like that. But that's the point of a mockumentary.
No, I love those things. But that's what I mean by heightened, right? So they will take it to the next degree. They'll turn the graph on its side. They never turn the graph on its side in this. It is quite possible, like, it's completely plausible that somewhere a student has drawn dicks on cars and got made and been mid-sacked. They never in this. I consider the performances in this to be as close to real for high school teenagers as you can probably get. I think the comic performances are brilliant. Like, the whole cast, it's like, God, if Seth Rogen could have found all these people to cast in his films, there's never a weak link in the performances. And they don't...
But I think that makes it mundane. That means that the only gag is that it's about a silly thing. And that, for me, makes it a missed opportunity.
Well, and that is why you, the guinea pig, needs to stick to it, because you want to see where it's going and what point it is making. So if we're dealing with something real... rather than, you know, most episodes of the day to day didn't have an emotive conclusion that you're waiting for. It's like gag after gag after gag that satirizes a style, whereas this is taking on a style, but it's telling a story as well.
But it also falls into the trap that the actual shows do, which is that there are points where it's boring.
Yeah,
and the fact that that there's no, you know, when you're listening to Serial and you're like kind of starting to zone out, what hooks you back in is the fact that it's about something important and something that you actually care about finding out the answer to. Whereas I don't, you know, because this is what it is, I don't have anything invested in the actual mystery.
Well, I care.
And so
I
when it gets boring, beginning.
I care whether Dylan did the dicks or not. But the point you're making I agree with. I think it's kind of ironic with these things that you, I'm watching it and I'm going, I know that you are taking down storytelling techniques. That's what you're doing. You're saying, if you were to take anything, like Matthew in a car now, if you were to tell his story, you wouldn't start with the Halloween costume. You'd say, the way that Serial would do it.
I don't think anyone in the audience knows what's going on, but okay, carry on with the
if we were going to tell Matt's story right now in the style of that, you would begin with, in 1927, a man invented something called the central locking system. It was a, and you work like backwards from some small tiny detail to, and now Matthew sat in the car and he's pushed the central locking. And it's almost pointless. They're showing that you can zoom in on any individual feature, person, element, and you can make people think that it has more suspicion than it actually you would ever give credence to. And whilst I know that they're taking the piss out of that, I am also perfectly happy to be sucked in by it and enjoy the fact that they're doing it. The trail of breadcrumbs is, you know, all right, they're taking the piss out of that technique, but it works. And I've enjoyed it from beginning to end for that.
I would like to say I did really enjoy it as well. And there are flaws to it that Matt's not far off with some of them. But I also have to go because George has just done a stinky one and Laura needs a hand. I'm sorry. Okay. So sorry about that.
That's Jamie's conclusion. All right. Bye, Jamie. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So it's...
Well, look, I would say that I didn't love this, but I wouldn't... I wouldn't be unhappy if I carried on watching it.
Then carry on.
And B, I certainly wouldn't tell anyone else to avoid it. I wouldn't be like, oh, don't watch that shit.
My big thing, did you watch the trailer?
Perfectly acceptable, but this is not for me.
Yeah,
I didn't watch the trailer. And in fact, I was talking to my brother and my friend Idil before I came out here, and they said that the trailer was the thing that hooked them into it the most.
Yeah, and I did wonder, that was one of my biggest things, was like, okay, I get the joke, how are they going to stretch it out? And I would be interested to know what you think of kind of where they get to with it.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'll watch a bit more, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't got a lot of time for TV these days, so yeah. I've got to fit in the things that I want to fit in.
It's weird, isn't it? It's if you're puerile, like me, you laugh every time you say the word dick. But the truth is, it is actually a really good commentary on high school, on like people branding certain children as useless and how that's then going to affect them for the rest of their life. That's kind of what it's about, you know. Who do you think of when you think high school kid who drew the dicks? Do you think of this intelligent-looking grade A student, or do you think of Dylan? Think of Dylan.
Thing is, I like puerile, but it has to be done really well.
It has to be pushed hard. You want to be hit by a very heavy satirical stick, so that you feel like what you're watching is worth spending your time on. You feel like you're changing the world for the better by cheerleading Chris Morris in his crusade for taking down silly things.
Well, sure, whatever. But also, I think this is a little bit confused in its targeting, purely because, well, obviously Serial was not a TV show.
Mm.
So it's kind of... I don't know. I don't know what is directly ripping off.
It's got to be ripping that off more than... I mean, it does rip that off more than anything else, but then there's Making a Murderer, and certainly Robert Durst. All of the things that happen, the key things that happen in the Robert Durst documentary, The Jinx, and Making a Murderer, all of those things happen in this as well. So, you know, accidental microphone moments and things like that.
Mm.
So it is quite well plotted out, I think. But yes, you do, as an intelligent man, you are going to have to work harder at believing that they know what they're doing. You know, it doesn't spoon feed you as much as Chris Morris does.
But I don't want to be put in that category where it's like, oh, I think this is for stupid people. I don't think that.
No.
I think puerile comedy has got its place, definitely. That's why I asked us to watch The League, which you never did.
Yes, it did.
No, you didn't. You watched an episode in a bit. You haven't given that any time.
You've just reminded me that I should get back on it, and I will. I promise.
because I've been rewatching that at the moment, because I have shows that I watch when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And Community used to be my go-to, but now it's not on any of the free services anymore.
Mm.
And so I've been looping around the league. And I've got a lot of love for that show. I really do.
Yeah.
And please go and watch a bit more.
I promise.
Just see
it
if you can get far enough into it that you enjoy it.
I'll tell you how bad it's got. I've started watching the second series of Designated Survivor.
Holy hell.
Oh, my God. I mean,
see,
honestly,
I've got lots going on, though. I've got to finish Game of Thrones. I'm only halfway through Series 7 of that.
Nice, nice.
And then before we know it, I'm going to New York on Friday for 10 days. And when I come back, The Walking Dead starts.
Yes. So Sarah and I are ploughing through. I did what you did with your wife. I've persuaded mine to watch The Walking Dead.
Right.
In 2 weeks, we are now up to Season 5. We've just started Season 5.
Wow. Does she love it, then?
Yeah, it's great.
That's interesting, because my first appearance on this show was talking about The Walking Dead.
And how girls
in
don't
that,
like it.
You, me, Ben, and you all said that it was women, or the women in our lives do not enjoy that show.
No, well, do you know what happened? I don't think it was Game of Thrones we were watching. It was something. Oh, we went to LA and we went on The Walking Dead, like walkthrough ride sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't that. We were watching something else that was really graphic. Like, it was probably Game of Thrones, actually. By the time we finished the last series of Game of Thrones, it occurred to me, and I said to Sarah, you know, you put off Walking Dead because, yeah, in that first episode, it's got some really sick stuff. It is nothing compared to Game of Thrones.
No, it really isn't.
Because once you believe that the zombies are dead things, you're not seeing humans have the heads crushed in, not much.
Yeah, but that's we talked about this a while back. That's what's so brilliant about The Walking Dead is the way it shifts its focus over the course of that time. And like, you must have seen it while you've been rewatching it.
Yeah.
That's one of the
most
impressive things about it. And in fact, it reminds me of something that we were talking about, or at least I heard you talking about after I left last week.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think who was saying it. Maybe it was
probably me. Intelligent.
Adam.
Yeah.
Was talking about how actually they said it early on in the podcast about overstaying their welcome, and right. about the Marvel Universe sort of getting tired and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But to me, I was thinking about this, and it's like that just shouldn't have been the case. And this is the problem that I was trying to articulate, is that they just keep getting stuck in the same loops.
Mm.
So they don't actually develop anything.
Mm.
They just end up retelling the same boring pieces of story where it's like, you know, you end up fighting the hand, which is just a million faceless nothings.
Yeah.
Whereas The Walking Dead went from zombies, which are at their core an unsatisfying enemy because they have no motivation other than their, you know, their hunger. To focusing on people versus people, which is ultimately where all the conflict in all drama comes from, and is where our interest lies.
Yeah, and probably the inevitable place where a zombie apocalypse would lead to.
Absolutely, or any apocalypse for that matter.
That's right, and I keep thinking of you when I'm watching it, because you're totally right. There's stuff in like episode 3 and 4 that you go, oh my God, they set up that there. Or at least they look backwards and they paid attention to the seeds that they potentially had sown a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
It's great.
But sorry, I'm remembering the stuff that I was thinking while I was listening to the Defenders one.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead is the best comic adaptation I've ever seen, because we forget that it is a comic.
Yeah.
And it did what none of the Marvel comic stuff has had the balls to do, which is just take the damn stories that are already in the books.
Yeah, tell
and
them.
And that is what is the most disappointing thing about the Marvel TV shows. It's like, there is some great stuff with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones in the Civil War books.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do any of it. They're not going to do any of it.
I saw a special effect in Walking Dead just earlier. I was watching it, and it's when I don't want to give anything away for anybody, but you know, they do a long walk towards a place at one point, and then a large explosion happens. And when this explosion happened, they put these special effects in, and the explosion was set off by a firework from somebody down the road, and it looks great. Fireworks sets off, boom, big bang. And then they did this, because they'd obviously got a bit more budget by this point, they did this close-up that showed kind of zombie bodies cracking open inside the flames. And even by now, a few years later, it looks rubbish. And I said to Sarah, there's no need to see the bodies in there. What's so great about The Walking Dead is that almost everything is done in camera. Like, it really, for the size of show that it is almost like they've done it on a small budget and got up really early in the morning in Atlanta and shot everything, found a desolate wasteland. You don't need much, and you don't need much budget either. And it looks great because of that. And when you can, but you've just made me think for the first time that that is the same thing as Marvel. You know, it's a comic. Oh my God, imagine if Marvel had got hold of The Walking Dead. Imagine the fight scenes and the cameras 360ing through the air as everybody slices. Oh, you'd get as bored of that as quickly as you get bored of smashing a zombie in the head.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. By the way, Sam Knowles, whose email we read out last week, emailed again saying, I actually quite enjoyed hearing the episode. No need to feel sorry for me. I'm not as invested as my email might have made out. I thought Matt's observations were brilliant. Here's the bit where whatever Sam was smoking that night kicks in. No offence to you and Jamie, but I'd take a pod of just listening to Matt talk about Marvel. I think I might agree with you about Kingsman if we talked about it too. Great set pieces, but no jeopardy. Also offensive, misogynistic, overly violent, and rubbish. Not sure about your last bit there, Sam. You're going to have to explain that to me.
I haven't seen Kingsman. Look, Howell, I've got to go. I've got to go and get murdered.
You have to go and get murdered? Thank you, Matthew. Yeah. You're entirely wrong and take life too seriously about American Vandal, so please carry on. Mm-hmm. If everyone could watch it, that'd be great. Thank you. See you next week for To Be Discussed.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.